Hey, this is Jesse, host of the Railjack Ruffians podcast. As some of you have noticed, we haven't actually posted any episodes in quite some time. I'm looking at you, Mr. Glasses. You're very astute. And I just wanted to say, the reason we haven't posted any episodes in a while is that I'm lazy. But I'm trying to get back on the ball. We actually have two episodes pre-recorded. This episode, which is episode 4, and episode 5. We're actually going to go ahead and start recording again. But while we're waiting on new episodes, please enjoy episode 4.
Welcome to the Railjack Ruffians podcast. Please like, subscribe, and do all that good stuff. And remember, Tenno, a breath a day keeps the they heck away.
They are awesome. Who is they? They are the people listening to episode 4 of the Railjack Ruffians podcast.
Let's hope that whoopsies. Shock mount worked.
Yeah, hopefully we're good. So, welcome to episode 4. Of course, I am your host, Jesse. On my left, we have...
Hello, I am Stardust.
On his left, we have...
Yes, it was left. Very good. Okay. I am Mitchell. Hello.
Are you?
I am.
He's back.
When did you get here? Have you been here the whole time?
No, yeah.
We noticed last episode that he was missing, so we decided to go back from Earth, Texas to Key West to try and pick him up, but we actually found him hitchhiking on the side of the road in Biloxi, Mississippi, where we decided to stop for the night. So thanks for... you know, rejoining the group.
Yeah, thanks for coming back for me. It's nice to be here. It's a very, very nice change from sitting on the side of the road trying to get a ride back
to
you guys.
How did it feel being abandoned?
It felt awful. All I had to eat were soggy tortillas that I found under the underpass, but it worked out because you
guys...
Were
they good soggy tortillas?
Well, I had to share them with a mouse, but I... They were
was
fine.
It a friendly mouse,
no,
at least?
No.
Is it related to Pizza Rat?
I don't know.
Anyway... So
thank you.
That's that guy. To his left, again.
Yes.
We have
Jello.
Jello? How much Jello? What flavor?
The best lime.
The best flavor. What all is him?
He doesn't want to start arguments.
Oh, I want to start an argument.
I like lime.
Orange is the best.
Lime. No. You're sticking on team lime.
Oh no, I love lime, but orange is good. But I like lime.
Yeah. Hey, I was trying to start an argument.
I am mystery flavor. That's why I'm the best one.
Boo, mystery flavor. I haven't tried that one, but I'm trying to start an argument. So
it's
boo that.
There's not one.
It's
liar.
Clear.
Haha. See, argument.
What about
argument.
What about strawberry?
It's tasteless.
Strawberry's okay. I think orange is kind of my go-to. I don't know. Blue is good.
Blue is not a flavor.
Blue is a flavor.
Blue is a color.
Okay.
Lime is best.
You have a Gatorade right there, okay?
That's lime.
Let's start... Hold on. Let's start an actual debate. What flavor is that Gatorade?
Lime.
I
know what it is.
What flavor is that Gatorade Stardust?
Slime.
Shut up. Hold up.
Shut up who?
Good Jacob. Oh, right. You didn't even say your name.
Y'all keep guessing because he's wrong.
It's lemon lime.
Lemon lime.
No. If someone were to ask for one of those Gatorades, what would they call it?
Lemon lime.
They would ask for a lemon lime Gatorade.
Oh yeah.
No, they would not.
A yellow.
They would ask for a yellow lemonade. Thank you very much.
Yellow lemonade. That's
green.
Green.
No, green is green apple.
Yellow lemonade.
That's a very green one.
That is green.
You said
this is green. You cannot
greenish.
Tell me that's yellow.
It's greenish, but you wouldn't call that the green Gatorade because there's green apple.
You wouldn't call it a yellow lemonade either. You called it lemonade.
What? Did I call it lemonade?
You said a yellow lemonade.
Oh, a yellow Gatorade.
That's what
Sorry.
They would ask for.
No, it's caution green, remember, Jesse? We had a debate about that.
That's a different color, though.
He put it up to the... If you put
and
it
it's
in line,
safety
it
green.
Yes.
Anyway,
green.
Yeah, that, it's very different than Caution Green.
It is totally different. But anyway, that is a yellow Gatorade.
No, it's green, not. It's green.
A green Gatorade is green apple. They are distinctly, very undisputably green.
I'm about to I didn't know they made that right now.
Look it up. Look up the green apple Gatorade.
I didn't know they made a green apple Gatorade. That sounds disgusting.
It sounds delicious.
Do they call it green apple or Granny Smith?
I think they call it green apple. They may just call it apple. I don't know.
It's got to be green apple.
No, green apple is a darker green.
Exactly. That's a real green. That's like distinctly green. Look at it. It's very green.
This is neon green.
That's, okay, in comparison to green Gatorade, which is that, that is comparatively yellow.
It is yellow.
So it's called yellow Gatorade.
Cut this out, but why is there a Gatorade concentrate you can buy?
So that you can make your own.
Mix it with water.
Why would we cut that out? Is that controversial?
I just don't know why. I just answered a question.
That's what a lot of football teams do, is they'll get the powder and put it in giant coolers.
No,
and
it's like a liquid.
Yeah, you can, well, like, yeah, you can just add it to your water, probably.
Well, they make those little, another company makes the little squeeze bottles where it's a few drops in your water.
Yeah, but
it's called, hey, the concentrate is yellow, but the actual Gatorade is lemon lime is green.
Okay, so here's what I was getting at. No one in their right mind calls Gatorade by the name of their flavor.
I do.
You're not in your right mind. Okay, you're not in your right mind. You call it by the color.
What do you call grape Gatorade?
Grape Gatorade? Purple?
Mm-hmm. So you just call it purple Gatorade?
Purple, yeah. Purple
There's
stuff.
Red Gatorade.
No, look.
It's fruit
what
punch.
If there are multiple different types of blue, which there are, so you have to be specific.
Yeah.
You can't just say, I want the blue one.
There used to be like this clearish, okay, purplish one that was really good.
You have, and they're very similar in color. If they are side by side, you can barely tell that there's a difference.
What's the second blue one?
You
What's
have
the first blue one?
Glacier Freeze, and then you have
No, Glacier Freeze is gray/white.
It's blue.
No.
Maybe I'm thinking of Cherry Freeze.
Yeah, Cherry Freeze. Yeah.
They have like a light blue one and a lightish blue one. And they're very similar.
What are those
they
two?
They also have like a darker
Glacier
blue.
Freeze, and then the other one I can't remember.
The raspberry?
Ah, doesn't exist.
No, but in MAPCO, they have them side by side. And it is hard to tell the difference unless you read. I got two different ones one time, and I was trying to get the same one. So you can't always
you need
the blue
glasses,
one.
Obviously.
I have glasses.
You should have worn your glasses.
I was.
Uh-huh, sure.
You can't just say the blue one. It's like there are two blue ones. It's like,
you can't just say the green one. There's multiple green ones.
But like 90% of the time, it's one of the, you know, one of the main ones. You got your green,
wait,
you got your orange.
What do you call orange?
Orange Gatorade.
Exactly. But it's orange, the fruit.
Let me remind everybody, this is a Warframe podcast.
No, it's not. This is a Gatorade podcast.
If only it were sponsored.
Yeah. Gatorade, sponsor us.
I should have sponsored.
Maybe.
Anyway, so what were we talking about?
Gatorade.
Warframe.
Gatorade. Definitely Gatorade.
At least one of us is trying to stay on track. Good Jacob's actually trying to help.
Yeah, I didn't even introduce myself. Y'all did for me.
On the color thing, why does lemonade powder, like when it's white, why does it get wet and then it turns yellow? Is it like just the oils? Is it like lemon oil?
There's yellow lemonade power.
I know, but the specific one that we have experience with is white until you get it wet, then it turns yellow.
Probably because it enacts certain ingredients that were not active whenever it was strictly a powder and dehydrated.
I'm kind of wondering if it's like if it's actually got like lemon oil in it or something.
Why is Simply Lemonade white?
All right, Warframe.
What?
Anyway, Warframe.
Warframe? Oh, right. Warframe. So, yes, good Jacob, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
I mean, you introduced me for me, so.
Well, you didn't say your name, so that's
a
you thing.
I know, that's why. Because I knew you were going to say it eventually.
Well, I was going to wait for you to say it, because I didn't say Stardust's name. Well, I didn't say Mitchell's name. I didn't say Stardust's
name.
Now. Yeah, I did just now, but whatever. Okay, so.
People know me. I mean, I've been in every episode.
True. But they know the rest of us, too, so we're all introducing ourselves. Warframe.
Warframe
right.
Has its own rat mouse thing now.
Does it?
Yeah. What was it, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Or what's her face? Was
yes,
she had
but
the little pet one?
There was also the Plains Kuwaka, which you can find on the Plains of Eidolon. It's kind of mouse-ish.
Yeah, but this one was like someone's pet, and they were like petting it and everything.
True. Anyway, Warframe.
You said something about DE. You said, who are they, the people at DE?
No, they are the people listening to episode 4 of the Railjack Ruffians.
DE should listen to this too, though.
Yes. DE, actually, that's a good point. That's something I'm going to be getting into later. This episode is actually sort of aimed towards the people at DE. So community team people, Megan and that whole crew there, pay attention to this episode. We got a message for you. Yeah.
Extremely important. The fate of the world depends on it.
Extremely important.
The fate of the origin system. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there we go. The fate of the origin system.
What did you say?
Extremely important. Positional extremes.
Extreme.
Wow. Cue more laughing noises.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not funny anymore.
No, in post.
Oh, in post.
Yeah, in post.
What would you do cookies again?
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, this episode is kind of aimed towards DE.
You should still listen to it, though.
Yes. Everyone needs to listen to this. Or everyone, you know, could maybe learn something. I don't know.
Jumps in here is like, only DE listen to this. Everybody else go away.
Yeah. So, DE, listen in. Everybody else still listen in as well. But we'll get into that in a little bit. First, housekeeping. I completely forgot to mention in the last episode, Lotus Eaters is out. So, we have, of course, the short, and when I say short, I mean very short. If you're taking your time and you're going really slow and checking out all the details of everything, maybe 5 minutes. Maybe.
If you're lucky.
If you're going real slow.
If you're going normal speed, probably 2 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe 2 minutes.
If you're going normal speed, like maybe a minute.
Yeah. Well, a minute. You know. Anyway, very short quest. Did not answer very many questions, but it did make me more excited for 1999. Cause
that's what it's supposed to do, though.
Yes. So, good job, DE. You did what you were aiming for. Also, something I haven't seen anyone talk about is the login music for Lotus Eaters. I thought it was pretty cool, and I was listening to it as I was taking my MR30 test. Woo! Woo! I am finally Mastery Rank 30. It was so fun to go into the relay and give my first blessing. That was super cool. For those of you who don't know, when you get to Mastery Rank 30, you can go into any relay, and there's a little stand there, and you go to the stand, and you can give everyone in the relay a blessing of a certain kind. You can do, there's damage blessings, there's health and shield blessings. No one really does those three, but there's affinity blessings, credit blessings, and resource drop chance blessings.
Oh, those three.
Those are the main ones.
Not in a farmable form, but as far as, like, let's say you're prepping for a big mission, could you go in there and do that and bless everybody else in the lobby, but also your crew before you go into a mission?
Yeah, you can bring everyone in and bless everyone with a blessing.
That would be good. That would be
that'd be
rough if you could, like, only bless strangers in the thing and you couldn't bless your friends. It's like, well,
I like the Jade missions. You can't be stalker with your friends.
Yeah,
you
know? True. Now you can only do one blessing per day.
Yeah.
So keep that.
But
in mind.
If you start a trend, because I've been in there one time when it was just like one after the other after the other after the other. I was like, oh hi.
Yeah, that's always fun. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. So more developments will be coming on why I'm so excited for MR30 later on. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nod,
it's
something.
It's a secret.
Super secret. But yeah, Lotus Eaters brought the Lotus Eaters quest. Pretty good. So.
Gives more questions than answers, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, it does for sure. But again, that does make me hype for the upcoming 1999. Also, for those of you who didn't know, if you go back, I'm going to be kind of vague here. If you go back to the place where the quest starts, there is the person that the quest is with. That person is still there in that spot, and you can hear that person give more voice lines. And there are some interesting lines there. So I would recommend going back and checking that out.
You just have to wait around, though.
Right, yeah, you just got to sit down and wait. It's not like an interaction prompt or anything
like
that.
They're just going to wait for somebody to post a YouTube video about it, I guarantee you.
Oh, I'm sure it's already out. I mean, it's definitely out by the time this podcast come out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so this is episode 4. What are we going to be doing today? Today is our first lore slash quest episode.
I can tell now. I need to go double check the notes.
Yeah, if I don't know if you'll care about the notes, but they're on Discord.
I meant to double check them earlier. I just forgot. I got busy making cookies.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing the very first quest called Awakening. I'm not even sure you could call this a quest because it's literally the first gameplay that you do when you get into the game. So we're going to be reviewing it. I do want to make note of this before we start getting into it. I'm going to be pretty critical of the quest, but I do have a reason to be so... I'm not going to say negative, but I want to be like laser focused on as many minute details as I can be. One of the biggest barriers to entry for Warframe is the new player experience. It's difficult to learn everything there is in Warframe, and Warframe is a live service game that's been live for 11 years. They keep adding content, which is awesome, by the way. They just keep piling on new stuff, and it just becomes very daunting to jump in when you weren't, you know, there from the start, when it was easy to learn. So new player experience is very rough in Warframe, and this is literally the first thing that you play. So I am going to be a little more judgmental on this quest just because I want Digital Extremes to get the feedback to improve it, to make it better for the new players.
Mitchell, in the podcast, have you ever said why you stopped playing?
Like, why did I stop? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, like, I don't know if you ever said it in the actual podcast.
We talked about this when we talked about DeViri.
Did we talk about it? I think we did.
Very confusing for my simple mind to comprehend. It was very complex in my personal simplistic opinion and point of view.
That's another thing I found out semi-recently. They moved DeViri back to Uranus, I think. So
you have to get to Uranus in order to access DeViri.
Start DeViri.
Okay, that's good.
That is good. I still think it should be after the new war, personally.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you've still got a ton of frames that you need to farm.
Well, not to mention, one of the key bits of the storyline kind of like is stuff from a very particular quest.
Yeah, you won't recognize.
No, you won't recognize the significance of why that happened.
Yes, we're gesticulating wildly with our arms. I know you can't see, but
yeah, you can't see because we're in the void.
But yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, there's a tune you hear sometimes in the DeViri quests of someone whistling. You know, the
yeah.
You can actually hear a certain character whistling that in the new war quest, the exact same tune that's heard in the DeViri quest.
Well, also, like, you know, when they come in and see kind of that alternate version of a particular older character who helps you throughout DeViri, they're going to be like, who is this guy? Meanwhile, the rest of us are like, oh my goodness, the personal significance of him. Yeah, one, we're like, he's old. Two, it's like, just like the significance of who the character is and them, or this alternate version of them, or whatever the case may be, helping us.
Which I would love to see more things around him, like maybe his own quest.
I would too.
That would be.
And the only reason I say alternate version is because he was so different. I don't actually know if that's the truth or not.
Yeah, I'd have to look into it.
I'm also not sure if that's spoiler, but
we'll get into that when we get to the new war,
which is pretty far away.
Yeah, that's a long way down the road. So, like I said, gonna be critical, but that's not out of like a.
It's not in a malicious form.
It's because I really enjoy this game and I want to see it do well. And if there's anything I can do or suggest to help the makers,
constructive criticism.
Exactly, to help the makers of the game make it even better, I want to help in any way that I can. So that's pretty much all we had.
Edification.
Yeah. So now we're going to bring up the star of the show. Me? No. We're going to bring up the star, Mitchell.
Woo!
And he's going to play this quest for the second time ever. But it's been so long since he's played it that it'll be pretty much like the first time.
I probably don't remember it, but if I am the star of the show, you probably shouldn't have left me in Mississippi. Oh.
Well,
to be fair, that was unintentional.
It was Key West we left you.
I didn't have a phone.
That's your own fault for not having a phone.
It was unintentional.
It was?
Yes.
Oh. News to me. Okay, so we're going to shuffle now. Do the shuffle. So, that is the Awakening Quest. Next time we do a lore slash quest episode, we're going to be doing, I believe, Once Awake is the next one. It's either Once Awake or Vor's Prize. I can't remember. But yeah, initial thoughts, Mitchell, as an introduction for a new player into Warframe, how did that feel?
It's nice. It's simplistic. It lays everything out. It's a tutorial mission. It's fun. You don't feel overpowered, but you do feel good. Like, you know you're safe, but it's very satisfying whenever you do end up running through. Especially whenever you get movement down nice. It just feels good. Especially in addition to that, having, as you progress, it seemed like the enemies were getting a little tougher. Not by much, just like they had a little bit of extra health. And then they came in a larger quantity, and that made it scale up nicely. So I enjoyed it.
What's about the cutscene?
Cutscene was nice. It was just a little confusing, but it was good.
Was there something specifically confusing about it?
Originally, and I think it just kind of got cleared up as we went, but originally it was just the start where she started in water. That was a little, I guess, just my brain trying to piece it together. So the whole thing wasn't confusing.
She was just going for a swim.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of dead bodies.
At the start, it was a little mysterious, which I guess it's what they're going for.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about
Give our thoughts on it?
Jacob. Good, Jacob.
Okay.
Return to sender.
The cutscene I love, that's what actually made me pick Excalibur.
Beautiful.
The level's fun. I was actually on was it the phone or Discord with you when I did it?
Most likely Discord. I can't remember.
I was actually doing it with him, and that's also one of the reasons I chose Excalibur, because I was like, I was stuck between these two, and he's like, I think you should pick Excalibur. I think it was Mag, maybe, and Excalibur. I was stuck between.
Possible.
And he said pick Excalibur because Mag's,
Yeah. Mag has potential, but yeah. Excalibur is generally a better pick. For the most part.
And seeing it in a long time, I just realized how beautiful that whole mission is.
Yeah, it's really good. Stardust, what are your thoughts on the quest in general?
So that quest I really enjoyed. I love that opening cinematic. That's just gorgeous. And the three Warframes you start with, I thought were really cool. And I liked the layout of it. I liked the feeling of like going and finding the weapons. I like the weapons that they offer you at the beginning. Like for the primaries, the bow was my immediate pick. I wasn't a fan of the rifle. That was the only one. But as far as like melee, like the choice between the Skyna and the bow, those were cool. The throwing stars, the pistol, that was cool.
Yeah, I believe they actually did away with the Mark I variants. I think they're still available.
That always confused me.
Yeah, so that's cool that they got rid of that. I think they're still available in the market, but when you get it, you get the regular base version of the weapons.
Good. That's good. I like that. Overall progression of that quest was really good because it's like it introduces you, then it throws you into a boss fight, and it gives you kind of everything that to expect from then on, pretty much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. There are some improvements that could be made, though, which we'll go over as we're going through the quest. Or talking about the quest. Yes. So, yeah, of course, opening cinematic was bonkers. I'm trying to think of another good word for it.
Crazy. Loco. Insane.
Wow. I don't know. I can't think of any cool
Wilson,
adjectives.
What?
Yeah. Really good. The only thing I'd really say about that is they didn't show a whole lot of Volt. I wish they had shown a little more of him, but, you know, still.
I mean, honestly, it's kind of had the most screen time.
He did, but also he's the poster boy of Warframe. He John Warframe.
Yeah, but I still think they should have done it evenly, because I think most people picked Excalibur just from what all they saw.
I like how John Warframe has his dog in the cinematic.
Yes.
I hope someday they make that like a little meme, just a little Easter egg tucked away in the corner of John Warframe. It's just like, imagine having Excalibur skin with like a tuxedo or something.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Tuxedo suit, probably like a black suit, right?
Yeah.
Like a blazer.
Tenogen people do that.
No, I want them to make it official. Anyway, continue.
I mean, Tenogen is official.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, made by the devs.
Yeah. I don't think it really...
I don't think they would do that.
Anyway, so they had this beautiful opening cinematic that showed off the different frames. Then they allow you to choose your frame. Something they didn't clarify on the screen was the fact that you don't... It shows you the abilities of all the Warframes, but it doesn't tell you that you don't have access to all those abilities yet. You only have access to your first ability, and it doesn't... I mean, well, no, that's not true. It does say, like, unlocked at level 8 or whatever, but it's not super apparent. I'm glad that they did finally add the color customization right there at the start, because one huge thing that Warframe has is customization. You can customize anything in Warframe, and it is insane. And it's good that they pointed out, hey, you can customize here at the very start.
Warframe endgame is fashion framing.
That is true. Fashion frame endgame. So they didn't used to have that. That was a more recent update.
Actually, I want to ask a question to Mitchell. Why did she use Volt?
I enjoyed the style of the helmet.
That's it?
Yep, that's cool. Pretty much all.
Uh-huh.
And to be fair, he's already tried Excalibur in a previous episode.
Yeah, we didn't try Mag. Mag can fly.
I tried Mag. Mag was the first Warframe fly. I picked.
Oh, he was.
Okay. So he tried the one that he hadn't tried.
Yeah. Mag can't fly.
That's not good.
She was using an arc wing.
Oh.
All Warframes can fly with arc wings.
Yeah. I mean, in that sense, yeah, all Warframes can fly.
They can also fly if they get yeeted by an enemy.
They can glide also.
Another fun thing about the opening cinematic, when they showed Mag catching the bullets and throwing them back, super awesome. Fun fact, that was not one of Mag's abilities when they made the cinematic. They made the cinematic with that and told the devs at DE, like, hey, this would be super cool. She should be able to do this. And they were like, oh, okay. At least that's how I remember it. Uh-huh. It's either that or... They had the devs had already planned on making that change and told the animators to do that just to show it off.
If they didn't, that's why they never brought them back. They
made us do extra work, man.
Yeah. So it goes through, you pick your Warframe, and then you get thrust into the world of Warframe, the origin system.
Which is like the best, though, now that you've played all three of them.
Volt so far.
Okay.
Volt was good. So, Captain Vor. Captain Vor is a captain of the Grineer army. He comes and puts the Ascaris on you, which is some sort of trap device thing. But you power through and you defeat enemies using your abilities. Fun fact, you can see that Captain Vor has the Yannis key with him there, which is a thing that comes up later. We didn't look at this during the quest, but I played the quest yesterday just to remember what it was like. And looking at the walls of that tower that you start in, it's made of the same material that the Unum Tower is made out of in Cetus. And for those of you who know, that is made of flesh.
Ew.
Yes. We'll get to that when we go to Cetus.
That's going to be a gross episode.
Yeah, the tower is made of flesh, and it has golden veins, which, if y'all remember, whenever you're in Cetus, when you load in, they're always, like, carving up some blubber over there. That is flesh that's been harvested from the tower. How do you feel about that, Mitchell?
I was going to not say this, but I was going to say it also is... It sounds like the developers were on some form of acid, and they...
Yeah, that sounds right.
From the tower, I thought it was like a whaling town, like they were getting whales.
That's what it looks like, but it's not.
Flesh.
If you want to get an interview with them, you might want to not say they're on acid.
Well,
they might just laugh and
he
enjoy that.
Mean, though.
Well, it's not... a bad thing, because, you know, some people...
I mean...
I've created some very weird and gross looking.
While you were on acid.
Have you done acid?
And I wouldn't mind if someone was like, dang, this looks like someone, you know, because it'd be funny. You'd be like, huh, well, no, I just dreams.
Some people think it's funny.
They're just like, oh, you're just this strange without the acid.
Yeah.
But we're American. We think everything's funny. I don't know about Canadians.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Canadians it does. Are
also, they're like founded in Canada, but how do we know every single person on the team's Canadian?
Canada? It's Canada.
That part we're going to have Canada? To cut out because you said Canada.
I meant to say Canada.
They're from Canada.
Anyway.
Canada.
That's what they speak in Canada, Canada.
But it is cool.
They speak Canadian.
No, Canada.
Canada.
Canada, like he said.
And French.
Why do we say South but Southern?
Because Yankees are in the North.
Because North and Northern is the same. East and Eastern is the same. West and Western.
Southern doesn't sound right.
It doesn't, but
South maybe it's just
Southern.
Because we use Southern instead of South.
And the reason that's Southern. On Stardust's mind is because we're in Mississippi right now.
Yeah.
Whether they were on acid or not, it's cool.
It's gross, but it's
next
cool.
Next question. Sorry, yes. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Is the tower not a tower, but actually a living creature that just happened to be there and it looks like a tower?
No, it was a tower. It is a tower.
It's not alive anymore.
Is it? It sounds like it's made of living flesh.
We'll talk about this more when we get to the new war.
Okay. I want to make sure you remember that.
Yeah, spoilers. I mean, put it in the Discord somewhere.
It's like a Frankenstein tower.
Yeah, it's neat, though.
Frankenstein.
Anyway.
Actually, that's the name of the doctor, not the monster.
Yeah. Anyway, same material as the Unum Tower is the tower that we spawn in, which is neat. So, something I noticed. Like, when you immediately spawn, they tell you to use your abilities to kill the enemies. But they give you infinite energy. So you can just keep going. This would be the perfect opportunity to introduce energy cost for your abilities and energy orb. Because when you start using that ability over and over, and there's no consequences for it, it doesn't suggest that it doesn't like reinforce the fact that abilities cost energy, and I feel like that would be a perfect place to introduce that concept.
They should just leave it like it is and then throw you straight into, was it the simulacrum, where if you spam the same ability, it'll be like, you cannot use that ability anymore.
Yeah, the sanctuary onslaught.
Like, don't even go back to the ship, just go straight into the simulacrum.
Yeah. There's actually a Orokin statue within the tower that you spawn in, which is cool and isn't really important, but I just wanted to mention it. Also, why can't we go back to this area as a level at some point on, like, Earth Forest missions? Because that was really a pretty cool level set, or a tile set, but we never get to go back there, which is unfortunate.
What if they made it, like, a free roam home kind of place?
Yeah. The Earth we have now is just really barren.
Yeah. The camp you were mentioning earlier?
Mm-hmm.
What if they made that the camp? Because that would be like going back to your origins.
Just, like, expand it.
Yeah, that would be like going back to your origins. I think that would be super cool.
Or, you know what? Okay, I don't know if it'd be better to expand it or like have an event that ends up destroying it and then you move to this other location.
Possible.
Both would be cool.
Yeah, so also there's some enemies with their backs turned to you, and it gives you like the normal stealth attack prompt, but it doesn't say, hey, you can stealth attack people. Press X to stealth attack. That would be a good opportunity to introduce that. So when they show you how to jump up walls, they've got this little blue silhouette that jumps up that like demonstrates it happening. But they don't have that for the bullet jump section, which is a huge disappointment because bullet jumping is something you use way more frequently than wall jumping. So I really think they should have that. Also, I really enjoyed the fake out where they destroyed the first orbiter or the first landing craft. That was
they should
really
have just drawn that out, like destroy like 5 orbiters.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. Also, when you get done with your bullet jumping, for a split second they show, hey, sliding at bullet jumping is the fastest way to get around. But then they immediately take that away and say, okay, this part of the quest is done. Move on to the next part, which, you know, a lot of times it takes a while to learn about bullet jumping.
Yeah,
so
instead of, this is the fast way to get around, try it now.
Yeah, so they should have left that up for longer. Also, I noticed that when you're fighting Captain Vor, there's a fire behind him. That's the landing craft that's actually on fire that he shot down earlier, which I hadn't noticed beforehand.
Grill some marshmallows.
Yeah. Also, when you're hacking to do your landing craft, the indicator is really small that like shows what button you need to press for the hacking. So I think they should make that a little clearer. It's not that big a deal, but again, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm really trying to nitpick every single little thing on this quest. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much all I had. It was overall a really enjoyable quest. It's a good introduction to the game in general. Some improvements could be made, but overall, pretty good.
Message DE that you had?
Oh, this like this whole episode is a message to DE on how to improve this quest in general.
I just made sure.
Yeah. So, any closing thoughts, Stardust?
Not really. I enjoyed the level, and I look forward to seeing improvements as they go.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Mitchell, any closing thoughts?
None that I can think of off the bat. It was fun playing through this time. And yeah, I'm excited to see how everything continues to develop and learn more about it as we go, because I'm still fairly confused on a lot of it. But
yeah, it's nice. It's going to be cool as we keep going. Good, Jacob. Any
good first mission and cinematic.
Yes, really good. Also, I wanted to add one more thing. We should have more microtransactions.
No.
In the last episode, I said tune into the next episode to hear me say something stupid, so I just wanted to include that. But yeah, so that's going to be it for us. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. It's at TotallyNotTheRealRR. Subscribe to our YouTube. Follow us on Spotify. Rate us 5 stars, like, all that good stuff.
On every podcast thing, pretty much.
Yeah. Also, you can email us at railjackruffians@gmail.com. That's a good way to reach us. That's our business email. Other than that, go kill Captain Vor. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Woo!